Does everybody have a purple sheet? There's a purple sheets in the back. Purple sheets. We are just taking a little break from going through a book. We just finished up Joshua, and we're now into going through the kind of the signs of the times. So I think this week, I think next week, maybe the week after, we'll see. But it's just looking at a study that we did a while ago, Signs of Christ Coming, we're on now. Last week was the delusion of the pre-trib rapture. Did anybody look up those scripture verses or do any further study on it? Like good Bereans? No. No, I just stuck it in my Bible and there it is. Yeah. Last week? That's good. Good. All right. So today we're going to go looking at signs of Christ coming. And, man, there's a lot of scripture verses all over the place. And what we can maybe do is divide up these scripture verses. And so, wow. How about we do this? I've got the scripture verses that are going to be put into your handouts. And let's do this. Rose, can you look up, keep your finger in Matthew 24, because there's going to be Matthew 24, 14, Matthew 24, 9, Matthew 24, 11, Matthew 24, 12. Can you do that? So at least we'll have those. And then if you could, when I ask you to come to read the scripture verse, just come up here and I'll give you the microphone, because it's really hard when we don't get it on the, you know, there's this dead silence, and then we either have to fill it in or piece it together. So there's also Acts 2:17. Terry, can you look up Acts 2:17? And then how about my wife, 2 Thessalonians 2:3? And then Brent, how about you do 1 Timothy 4:1? Okay? So just when we get there, I'll just have you come up. All right. Why study eschatology? And what is eschatology? It's another one of those ology words. Eska in the Greek means ending. And this ending means consummation of the end of the age. So that's what it is. It's the study of the end of the age. Do you know that there is no other book in the Bible that promises a special blessing to those who study it other than Revelation? Revelation of Jesus Christ. It says that. Blessed are those who study this book. That's the only book in the whole Bible. And everybody goes away from it. Everybody steers away from it. Furthermore, Titus 2:12-13 infers that waiting for our blessed hope is an incentive to living godly. Peter even speaks of speeding its coming in 2 Peter 3:12. Since the Lord and his disciples thought it was important for us, shouldn't we study it diligently? Eschatology is also a major theme of the Old Testament. The day of the Lord, when God will judge the nations, Joel 3, Zechariah 14. Also, when the armies gather to wage war against Israel in the city of Jerusalem, I mean, all these ramifications for world politics are right there in the Old Testament. Also, Isaac Newton said this: God held the first century Jews accountable for knowing prophecy. It is likely he will do to us as well. Jesus said, "Don't you know the times and seasons? Don't you know the day of your visitation?" When he rode in on a donkey, it was like, "Aren't you keeping track of these things?" And I think he'd say the same thing to us, since we're really close to it. Jesus taught that we have a responsibility to know prophecy and to keep watch. "Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour." In Matthew 25:13 says that. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Luke 21:34. Paul also says in Thessalonians, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Emphasis on them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, okay, Jesus is saying to us, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5. So, that's why you study eschatology. That's why you study end time stuff. Because the Lord tells you to. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this little study. This is out of our little Bible study that we're doing on Fridays. But this is the signs of Christ coming. And the first grouping is the signs in the world of religion. And then the second grouping is the sign in the world at large. And so we're going to go through these. First of all, one of the signs in the world of religion, right off the bat on the first one, is worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, Terry, I'll just move the microphone over and you can read that scripture verse.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
That's Acts 2:17. So that's your first fill-in, is Acts 2:17. Worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times we don't see that because we live in the United States, but around the world, the Lord is moving mightily, especially in the Pentecostal churches. Okay? I mean, just especially in South America, is just exploding. Again, we don't see that because, one, our media doesn't report it, and two, we live in basically a closed causation system in the United States, and whatever happens here is just happening here, and, you know, we don't see it affecting the rest of the world. So, there is a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit going on right now. And there will be a revival at the end, that's what it says, but it's also going to come with tribulation. You're not going to have one without the other, just like we studied last week. This is no time that you're going to have your rapture ticket and you're out of here, because that's just something for the Western church to really, you know, get a hold of. We deserve a break today, so we're not here, but we learned otherwise last week. All right, number two, worldwide evangelism and missionary activity, Matthew 24:14. Rose, why don't you come up and just read that one?
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Now, there's something that happened at the service at the Washington Cathedral after the 9/11 tragedy in this country. And what happened was, Billy Graham gave that service and gave the gospel. And it was the first time recorded that the gospel literally went and was broadcast around the world, because every country was tuned in to that. So there is a fulfillment, as of 2001, of the gospel literally being broadcast all around the world, just from that incident. And I think you already know, worldwide evangelism and missionary activity is continuing. We are the fourth largest mission field now, the United States is. So people are sending missionaries here because we're such a melting pot. And especially South Korea is sending missionaries here. So we were the head, now we're the tail, but at least we are still, the church is still sending people out, even if it's now the third world church, in missionary activity. Okay, number three, Christians afflicted, killed, and hated. Rose, I guess that's you again, because I gave you all the Matthew 24s. It's Matthew 24:9.
Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name.
All right. This is a global prayer map from Voice of the Martyrs. And if you can see here, this map, it's pretty big here, but you can see the restricted nations are in yellow and hostile nations are in blue. So you see a lot of the Sahara subcontinent of Africa. You got all of the Middle East and China restricted, and then hostile India, Turkey, Ethiopia, Indonesia, Colombia. Now, this is an older map. I don't know what it is right now, but this is maybe about 3-4 years old. So, we don't see it in this country yet. But like we talked about last week, that it is prophesied that persecution from all nations on Christians and Jews at the end. All right, Rose, I got you again. Many false prophets. Matthew 24:11 is your fill in there.
Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many.
Okay. I've got a BBC News here that Rabbi calls for the UN of religions. Chief Rabbi of Israel has called for a creation of a world body of representatives from major religious groups. We're trying to get the one world religion. I think you've seen false prophets all the way since, I mean, think about Jim Jones, think about all these different ones. Here's one, Madonna. You know, she's into the Kabbalah's faith and calls upon the arrival of her Messiah. I mean, there's just everybody's looking for somebody. And the only thing is the world's going to find somebody, but it's not going to be Jesus. It's going to be the Antichrist. Okay, number 5, a great falling away from the Christian faith, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Who's got 2 Thessalonians 2:3? Oh, the lady in the back in the red shirt, or the raspberry shirt. Raspberries.
Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy or falling away comes first, and the man of lawlessness or sin is revealed, the son of destruction.
Okay. Great falling away of the Christian faith. Let me just read something here real quick. This is Barna Research. Research indicates that everyone has a worldview, but relatively few people have a biblical worldview, even amongst devoutly religious people. The survey discovered that only 9% of born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. This is not 9% of just Christians or nominal Christians, or this is born people who say that they're born-again Christians, 9% have a biblical worldview. Now, what's a biblical worldview? Basically, take your glasses off, and this is the way you see your world, through this lenses. And the lenses of a biblical worldview is Scripture. I mean, we can say the basics of the faith, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But bottom line is a biblical worldview of living your life through the Bible. The numbers are even lower amongst other religious classifications. Protestant 7% of adults and 2% of mainline Protestant churches, and Catholics less than 0.5% have a biblical worldview. As we continue. Number 6, many Christians being led astray by deceptions of the devil. 1 Timothy 4:1. Who's got 1 Timothy? There we go. Brent.
Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Now, there's many things that we could go to look at that, but it's Christians being led astray. So let me just say this one. Is that the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey roller coaster got stuck at Universal Studios in Orlando recently. The new ride. What part of forbidden don't we comprehend? Do you know how many kids were into Harry Potter and now they're into Twilight and now they're into all this stuff? That's the kids. What about the adults? How many adults do you know that are being led astray by the deceptions of the devil and going after strange things? Right? We've got all kinds of manifestations, false manifestations, etc. Guys, we've got to lead the way. We've got to lead the way even with our own age group. Because the deception, the devil doesn't come with pitchfork and you know, horns on his head. Comes very subtly. And the erosion happens very, very slowly. To the point where you find yourself, how did I get here? All right, number 7, the love of many Christians growing cold. I think we got another Matthew 24, Rose. Matthew 24, 12 is that fill in there. Matthew 24, 12, the love of many Christians growing cold.
Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
All right. I know this has affected some of us in this room, but this is the divorce is widespread. Born-again Christians who are not evangelical were indistinguishable from the national average on the matter of divorce. 33% have been married and divorced. The survey did not determine if the divorce occurred before or after the person had become born again. All adults who have been divorced, 33%. Evangelical Christians, 26%. Non-evangelical born-again Christians, that's really interesting, 33%. I'm sorry, but the Catholics have us beaten, 28%. So, the love of many growing cold. And I'm not saying that, you know, just because you went through divorce doesn't mean your heart is black and cold and stuff. I'm just saying that we should be leading the way. The Christian should be leading the way instead of running up against the same thing as the world. So, all right, next page. And what I'll do is I'll just read these scripture verses out and then you can plug them in because I've got some specific areas I want to share with you. The next sign in the world at large is great international wars. Matthew 24, 7. Okay, Matthew 24, 7. Do you know Iran is planning attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq? You probably wouldn't read that because where would you read that? That's from Debka, which is an Israeli source for military and political things. 24-7, this is what it says. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. So one nation will rise against nation. Also, that word can also mean one ethnic group against ethnic group. And that's what we're seeing, too, even in our cities, right? Blacks against Hispanics, whites against so-and-so. I mean, you know, we have those. But these specifically are more international wars. Increase in travel and knowledge. Daniel 12:4. Daniel 12:4. I could just mention two things, Facebook and Skype. And you understand right away how much knowledge, travel, information just goes so quickly, right? So that's what it says in the last days. Daniel says that you're going to have, you know, so much of travel, knowledge. I mean, look at how fast we can get across the pond now, as they say, you know, over to England in some of those supersonic jets. Like 4 hours, zoom, right across, where it took, what, months to come across in a boat. That's right, because they're outdated all the time. So Daniel 12:4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Okay. Let's go back to our having some of you guys read here. Rose, I'll, how about if I sign you Luke 21? I've got about four of those, Luke 21. And also look up Luke 17. So Luke 21 and 17. Terry, how about 2 Peter 3:2-7? Kathy, how about 2 Timothy 3:1-5? And then I'll leave one for our new guest, Jim. How about you look up 1 John 2:18? How's that one? Can you look that one up? All right. So, the next thing after increase of travel and knowledge, that's number 9. Number 10 is the rise of Zionism and the rebuilding of the state of Israel. Well, I guess we pretty much know when that happened. Of course, 1948, the reinstatement of the state of Israel. 1967 would be the next one with the liberation of the Gentile domain. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Israeli Jewish population is now the biggest in the world. For the first time in almost 2,000 years, Israel has the largest Jewish population of any country in the world. And so what you're looking at is, Exodus 2, is the regathering of the nation of Israel. Many of them are coming out of the Soviet Union. Many of them, Ethiopian Jews, have you heard about them getting on planes and coming back to Israel? There's a regathering in Israel. And so the Central Bureau of Statistics, 76% of the population of 7.3 million is Jewish in Israel. The last survey of U.S. Jewish population put it at 5.3 million in 2001. So it used to be New York and the East Coast had the most, but now it's Israel. And that's been prophesied, that they would be regathered and rebuilding of the state of Israel. So Rose got Luke 21:24.
And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led. Is that it?
Oh, that.
Hold that one for later. Hold on. For some reason. Oh, it got put in the wrong place. Okay. Sorry. I'm going to read Psalm 102:16. Put in that one. Psalm 102:16. Okay. For the Lord shall build up Zion, and he shall appear in his glory. The Lord shall build up Zion. There's also different places where it says that in the last days they'll be regathered back. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. There's also, this is not in here, but there's also said that the whole world would come against Israel. All the nations would turn against Israel. And so I have a thing here that during the Bush and Clinton administrations, Israel had landing rights in Turkey and the USA bases in the Middle East. But this recent administration has withdrawn those landing rights, and Israel now has nowhere to refuel in the Middle East. That happened the day before the oil rig blew up, that decision. So, do you got a refueling problem? If you want to read a fascinating book, it's called Eye to Eye, and it's written by a Reuters news reporter. And basically, you can find this online too, but basically it details all of the times that any administration of the United States government has come against Israel to parse up the land, force them into recognition of the Palestinian state. Something has always happened to our country and to our land when we force Israel to do that. Something has always happened to our land. Katrina, well, you must be reading my mind, dear, because I have an actual picture when Katrina happened. When, if I don't know if you remember this, but the Bush administration had forced Ariel Sharon to give up the Gaza Strip. Okay? And that same week is when Katrina hit. And I have a picture here of a Jewish community along the coast of Gaza being bulldozed. And underneath is a picture of a bulldozer clearing rubble from the destroyed communities on the Gulf Coast. The actual square miles that we forced Israel to give up in the Gaza Strip was the actual square miles that were destroyed by Katrina. It says, those who bless them will be blessed, and those who curse them will be cursed. And I just shudder to think what in the world is going to happen when we start pressing, because this administration is pressing for a Palestinian state, and it says in the book of Joel that they divided up my land. It's God's land, no matter what. I just pray that Netanyahu does not do what Ariel Sharon does, because Ariel Sharon is in a coma being kept on life support system after that decision. Israel intends to attack Iran. There are over 30 installations, and 4 have underground bunkers that contain nuclear weapons. The U.S. is no longer supporting Israel's self-defense. So, Israel's at it alone, which is part of prophecy, saying that all the world will come against Israel and they'll stand by themselves, because you know what? Right now, Israel's Messiah is the United States, and it has to be Jesus. So we have to be removed from that place. Jerusalem, number 11, Jerusalem liberated from the Gentile domain. I think you remember that in 1967 when the Jews finally retook Jerusalem. And now the big debate is dividing up Jerusalem to be what? An international state. An international city. It's always been there. So, Jerusalem liberated from Gentile domain, Luke 21, 24. That's the one I have, Rose, Luke 21, 24. Sorry.
And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
So they were literally scattered all over the world, right? And then they regathered in 1948, and it says that Jerusalem will be liberated from Gentile domain, and that happened in 1967. Many scoffers denying the word of God and the promise of Christ's return. 2 Peter 3, 2-7. Who has 2 Peter 3, 2-7? Can I give that to you? Anybody? 2 Peter? Okay. 2 Peter 3, 2-7. I'll read that one. How's that? Oh, you got it? Okay. We'll let you read. This is interactive. Don't worry about it. Getting everybody involved instead of listening to my lecture. There's enough people that listen to my lectures all the time, so. So, many scoffers denying the word of God and the promise of Christ's return. Do you see that in our society? People scoffing at Jesus and making all these rude, horrible, I mean, I can't believe some of the things that the media tries to get away with, mocking Christ and everything, you know, all the way from The Simpsons to, you know, anything else on television. It just, you know, it's okay to take pot shots at Christians. It's not okay to take pot shots at, you know, the Muslims or any other religious group, right? Okay, Terry?
First of all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of the water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men.
Emphasis on ungodly. Look, here's a poll. Most people do not believe in the body's resurrection. Most Americans don't believe they will experience a resurrection of their bodies when they die, putting them at odds with the core teaching of Christianity. Also, this is an old article that I had, but scientists say the Sea of Galilee could have frozen and had frozen patches in the day that Jesus walked on the water. I think that takes more faith than to actually believe that Peter and Jesus walked on the water. We have to try to explain things scientifically to say that there was a little iceberg floating out there that he walked on. I mean, come on. Jeez. Number 13, we're almost done, we're getting there. 13, people absorbed in material pleasures and pursuits and forgetting the impending judgments of God. Luke 17, 26 to 30. I think that one's for Rose there.
And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out, from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out, and likewise the one who is in the field must not turn back.
Fine. This is the number, and I'll try to read it. But this is the number of the outstanding public debt as of yesterday, 7 o'clock in the morning for the United States. It's $13,254,854,631,770.87. This will never be paid back. The estimated population in the United States is 308,797,513. So each citizen's share of this debt is $42,924.10. That's the national debt clock. Number 14, remember, these are signs from Scripture of the Lord's coming back. Number 14, great decline in moral and ethical standards combined with the outward forms of religion. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Who has that one? Kathy, come on up and read that one to us. King James Version.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That was kind of different. The Greek word akrates means without strength or powerless to do right. Incontinent. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Thank you. Young adults struggle with morality. Eight behaviors of moral overtones. Exposure to pornography, using profanity in public, gambling, gossiping, engaging in sexual intercourse with someone with whom they are not married, retaliating against someone, getting drunk, and lying. Most common of the eight behaviors was profanity in public. Nearly 3 out of every 10 adults admitted using such language. 2 out of every 10 adults gambled. 19% admitted to intentional exposure to pornography. Lying, 11%. At least that's the ones that were truthful about it. I had to say that. Getting drunk, 12%. This is just in the last week when they reviewed and asked them. This wasn't like for the last year. It was just the last week. 2/3 of those under 25, we have got to reach out to these people. Under 25, 64% use profanity in public compared to just 1 out of 5 of the baby boomers. Not that we're any high and mighty righteous people, but hey. 9 times more likely to be engaged in sex outside of marriage. 6 times more likely to have lied. 3 times more likely to get drunk, gossiped, pornography, and engaged in acts of retaliation. This is from Barna Research, just recently, a 2008 study for those under 25. Number 15, abounding in iniquity, literally lawlessness. Matthew 24:12. Rose, you got that one? Matthew 24:12.
Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
I don't know if you know this, but California, Michigan, Illinois, right now are bankrupt. The states are bankrupt. They're cutting California, Michigan, and Illinois. Illinois is not paying any of its debts, right, as of July 1st. And everything. Anything that the state, municipal bonds, yep, whole thing. So, what happens? What gets cut back first? The police. I know it because we were just talking about that in Tigard, you know. Not that they've cut back anything, but it's just getting really tight. Well, folks, the police already in major cities in California said they will not come for burglaries, for drug issues, anything. No sergeants are assigned to those or anything. Well, what do you think that tells the drug dealers? Yeah. It's only major crimes. Plus, a lot of cities are now going into a consultant on retainer where they're hiring rent-a-cops for a period of time. They can't afford all of the payroll and the retirement and the 401ks and all that kind of stuff. Same thing? Yeah. And cutting back teachers. Yeah, it's all the service things that are really important, right? Right. Cut the teachers, yep. So anyway, we are in a period where lawlessness will go and run rampant. Listen, I'd like to say that when you call, the police will come right away, but pretty much you're going to be dealing with whatever you're calling about before they get there. Only 2% of the time the police are on the scene during a crime. Okay? That's just the statistics. Number 16, famines and pestilence. Rose, I got you again for 24/7. Oh, I hope it's not 24/7, Matthew 24/7. I hope the famines, pestilence, and earthquakes aren't 24/7, but that's what it says, Matthew 24/7. Matthew 24/7. You might as well read both of those. We'll do the famines, pestilence, and earthquakes.
For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but the breadbasket of America is having a hemorrhage because of our weather. Many of the farmers in the Midwest are not able to bring in their crops. There was that late rain that we had during the spring, cold. We used to export a lot of wheat. Russia stored a lot of wheat, and a lot of it got moldy. I mean, worldwide, I don't know if you know this, but worldwide, I think I still have those statistics here. Worldwide, food prices are going up. Okay? Let me just see if I have that here. Yes. Food prices, 2010, rice up 63%, dry milk, 39%, sugar, 25%, wheat, 17%, okay, food prices, because of famines a lot. Now, I asked Tony about pestilence, and I know that that could be like Ebola and stuff like that, but I just want to share something that I think is a pestilence, because of what we hear in the Gulf. There's a little... This is just a little graph of what's going on in the Gulf. Okay, I'll pass it around if you'd like. But what's happening is, even if they have capped the major oil rig, what it's done is it's put fissures and faults in the floor of the seabed. And what's coming up is from huge gas reservoirs, methane. Well, methane displaces oxygen in water. So when they took samples in Alabama recently at various places, and they were separating out the oil and the water, and what they found was like anywhere from 20%, you know, parts per million to 200% parts per million. When they took the sample from Dolphin Island off of the Alabama coast, and they went to put the solution in to separate the oil from the water, it blew up in the lab. And they asked the chemist, who's been doing this for years, why. He says, because there's methane in the water. It's that volatile. It just blew the whole glass thing right up in the lab. So you've got this methane gas that leaks out through the oil slick on the sea surface, and it's dissolved methane in the water substitutes the O2. Well, if you don't have oxygen in the water, what happens? Fish die, animals die, and guess what? What makes a boat float? The oxygen in the water. The ships, that's why they removed about 7,000 ships out of the Gulf and put them down in Costa Rica, because they were finding that they were sinking lower on their, you know, on their line, on the ships, into the water. So this is not done yet. Please don't listen to the major news networks to find out if something's true or not. The gas hydrate is coming up. The animals are dying. The bacteria and is spreading, and the gas is leaking up from the bottom. I think that's a pestilence. And the increase in severity and frequency of earthquakes that Rose just read also, I just have, these are just recent earthquakes worldwide. These are, this is from the year 2000 to 2009 and also 1990 to 1999. The highest year was 2004, 284,000 people died because of earthquakes. Now, not so much recently, but what you look at is the increase of earthquakes that are 5 point and more. Okay? Their frequency and the intensity of the earthquakes. So when you look at these charts here, you see 4.9, 5, 5.9, 6, 6.9. All those have gone up significantly over the years, just in that middle band in there. And that's another sign about the earthquakes coming. All right, we're almost done. Number 18, distress and perplexity of the nations, Luke 21, 25. Rose, I got you again. It's okay. Luke 21, 25.
There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves.
You know, the when we first discussed this, it was at the house when we had a Bible study. It was back in 06, 07. Europe was just starting to come together. And of course, you know, the European Commonwealth now has the euro and such like that, and the euro against the dollar and everything. But the bottom line is the European nations are all going bankrupt. Greece was the first one, but Spain, you've got Poland and everything else. The only thing that's really holding the EU together is Germany, because they have such a strong economy. Well, what you're going to see, I think, anyways, is you're going to see the EU is being affected by world economy. You've got now China, who has pulled off the dollar peg and is selling all their treasury notes swiftly, and they're not looking at exporting things to our country as much as they are exporting things to the Asian perimeter. The Asian nations. This has all been planned because they know that we're in hot water because we're in such debt. So the perplexity of the nations are, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about all of this, you know, economic crisis? And you can just see that it is really ripe for everybody to say, okay, let's start over. Let's have one world currency. Let's have one system, because everybody's, you know, you cannot produce enough fiat currency like we do with the Federal Reserve to keep a nation afloat. You just can't. So you just see it's very, very ripe, because the perplexity of the nations economically, politically, is just in an upheaval. And that's what it says in Luke 21, 25. The last one, Jim, I got you for 1 John 2:18.
Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come.
Well, I think forever and ever, I remember Tony and I when we were at Pacific University, and they had these posters on the telephone poles about Maitreya and the Lord Maitreya, and this guy named Benjamin Cream through Share International talking about this world teacher and Antichrist, basically. And there's been antichrist. It's not just one antichrist, like Jim just read. There's many antichrists, people that are world teachers that will come on the scene that have all the answers. And there'll be one that has all the answers that everybody will follow. The world teacher is that all major religions have been expecting to return. He is the Christ to Christians. He's the Messiah to the Jews. He's the Buddha. He's the Mahadeen. Looking for somebody that has the answers. And so just continue to look for this coming together of the world religions and coming together of these false teachers and people saying that they're Christs and antichrists, basically, is what the Bible calls them. So, like Francis Schaeffer asked, how then shall we live in lieu of all this? Well, first of all, if you don't notice the times and seasons, you're not going to know what area you're in. A lot of people just want to, excuse the expression, they just want to have pizza, football game, cheerleaders, and a beer. And they're happy. Don't bother me. That's what the Romans did. Circus, circus. Keep the people happy and just feed them bread. But I think that all this points to, one, if you're scared, you're not prepared. Okay, I know there's a physical preparation, but also more important, really, is the spiritual preparation, because you will not rise to your highest level when stress happens. We already talked about this. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years, saw all the miracles, walked on water, and yet some slave girl goes up to him at the night of Jesus' trial and says, you're a Galilean, I know your dialect, I've seen you with him. And he curses, overriding the dialect, and then denies him 3 times. So don't think that you're going to rise to your highest level when the stresses happen if you're not prepared. One of the reasons why we do what we do, of getting rid of these bondages in people's lives, is so that you do not fall back into that old pattern of life. Even though you're born again, your spirit's alive, your soul's got a lot of stuff that has to be dealt with. And so we continue to go on helping people get rid of these strongholds and bondages, because when the times get tough on the outside, it's going to test what's on the inside. And you're going to pop if you don't have those things settled. I just spoke to someone this week, last Saturday it was, who I have assumed to be a Christian for all these years, that we met at another church many years ago. And we got to the doubt and unbelief lesson. And he says, I don't know that Jesus is God. Now, I don't do that in the office, go. But that is a major, major issue. What are we playing? Are we playing Christianity? Or just because your wife's a really strong Christian or whatever? This is somebody that, you know, supposedly walked with the Lord for like 20, 25 years? So you need to know that you know that you know that you know, because like we learned last week, look at all these things and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. These are all the signs of Jesus coming. And when we look at them, we're so close. Remember, the minute hand on the end time clock is Israel. You've got to keep your eye on Israel and what's going on in Israel. A lot of people said World War II was the end of the world. No. There were some things that were missing, one being the regathering of Israel. So just, you have got to keep your eye on Israel. We are not in a replacement theology where the church took over for Israel. God is still dealing with Jacob as much as he's dealing with his church. We're the bride. He's dealing with the bride, but he's also dealing with Jacob, like we learned last week. So, I'll probably spend one more week on, basically, if you're scared, you're not prepared, and we'll talk about physical, emotional, spiritual preparation, in lieu of what we just learned the last 2 weeks. But I just think it's important to not necessarily get everybody riled up, but my goodness gracious, if those aren't the signs of the time, I don't know what is. And we live in the midst of them. And so we've got to be ready. And not just put our heads in the sand and say everything will be okay. All right? Okay. You can put it all aside and let's pray, and then we'll pass the baskets around for tithes and offerings, and then